then you'll repeat the translation with me. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Evam anu sasya atmajan swayam anushtitan api loka anusmanata. Mahanubhava paramasurit bhagavan rishabha padesha upasama shilanam. Uparata karmanam maha muninam bhakti jnana vairaga. Lakshanam paramahansaya dharmam upa shiksha manaha swatanaya shata jestam parama bhagavatam bhagavaj jnana parayanam bharatam dharani palanaya pischicha swayam bhavana evor varjita sharira matra parigraha unmata eva Gangana paridhana parikirna klesha atmani aropita havanyo pramavarta pravavraja. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev, instructed his own sons. Although they were perfectly educated and cultured, he instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis, who are no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished, also learn by these instructions. Lord Rishabhdev instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest, Bharat, was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Rishabhdev lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself and he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev, instructed his own sons, although they were perfectly educated and cultured. He instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis, who are no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished, also learn by these instructions. Lord Rishabhdev instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest, Bharat, was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Rishabhdev lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself, and he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, the instructions given to Lord Rishabhdev's sons were not exactly meant for his sons, because they were already educated and highly advanced in knowledge. Rather, these instructions were meant for sannyasis who intend to become advanced devotees. Sannyasis must abide by Lord Rishabhdev's instructions while on the path of devotional service. Lord Rishabhdev retired from family life and lived like a naked madman, even while still with his family. Makam karoti vachalam pangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatharinam. Lord Rishabhdev, yes. So we'll repeat the verse again. Sukadev Goswami said, thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev, instructed his own sons, although they were perfectly educated and cultured. He instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis who are no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished also learn from these instructions. Lord Rishabhdev instructed his 100 sons, of whom Bharat was a very advanced devotee, and of whom the eldest, Bharat, was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Rishabhdev lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself and left from Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. So, this is the astonishing story of Lord Rishabhdev. The pastimes of Krishna, Supreme Lord Rishabhdev, are multifarious. Particularly here, Prabhupada in the purport stresses that the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev are for those who have vanquished all their material desire and now want to fully concentrate on the Naam Guna Rupa Leela of Krishna. We see in the previous canto the story of Prithu Maharaj is very prominent. Prithu Maharaj, he conducted 99 fire yagyas. He performed all his duties within Varnashram, his karma, his prescribed duties. He performed them all perfectly as an offering to the Supreme Lord. Here we find that Lord Rishabhdev, he is now, after also performing all those duties wonderfully, he is now renouncing them. He is giving up position within Varnashram and he's taking to the position of an avaduta, somebody who is beyond all rules and regulations. So in third chapter of Gita, Arjuna is told, Arjuna, you cannot renounce your duty as a kshatriya of fighting. That is sinful. But now you should perform that prescribed duty within Varnashram. You are a Kshatriya. You have guna, the quality of a Kshatriya. You must perform the karma of a Kshatriya. But you should perform it as an offering to Krishna. Majaji, mam namaskaru. You shouldn't perform your material duties for fruitive result, for some selfish aim, some punya, some view to a future material comfort position. No, you should perform your duties for Krishna. So Prithu Maharaj, Rishabh Dev, they're doing all that. But ultimately, we see in the conversation with Ramananda Roy and Krishna. Ramananda Roy was asked by Lord Chaitanya, what is the goal of life, the sadhya, what is the prayojan, and how to achieve it? So Ramananda Roy, he went through all these levels. And when he came to Varnashram, Lord Chaitanya said, well, this is external, go further. So also the Bhagavatam, Shrama Hi Eva Kevalam, if you just perform your duties according to guna and karma, well, and you don't develop attraction, rag, for the Supreme Lord and His Naam, Guna, Rupa, Leela, His transcendental activities and qualities, if you don't get that attraction in your heart, then all your following of material dharma, your Varnashram, is a waste of time. Of course, this is an extraordinary idea, because now we're in Kali Yuga and people have no conception of prescribed duties other than a selfish pursuit of pleasure. This is very much proponent. This is Malecha society. This is man-made religion, false aims in life. As Krishna says in the Gita, one who performs his life simply to gain sense enjoyment, dhanam janam sundarim, to get a comfortable and opulent material position, he lives in vain. That is animal consciousness. Let me mark out some territory in the road and enjoy this territory. Let me control and enjoy. So Varnashram is meant to direct the human being to the worship of the Supreme Lord. The aim is not just to regulate human activities, but to set a format within which the living entities can cultivate bhakti. And that they do initially, as Ramananda Roy, he went further upon the request of Lord Chaitanya, and he said, yad karosi yad adnasi yajdadosi yat. Okay, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you charity, you whatever you give away, then do it as an offering to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya was becoming pleased at this point. Now, yes, because you're on the path of bhakti. You're not just performing material duties nicely for some personal result, going to Swargaloka, so on. You're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. But go further. So then, eventually Ramananda Roy came to Stane Shrutikatan Tanuva Manob, the verse of Lord Brahma. Whatever your situation is, within Varnashram or not in Varnashram, then you just hear the glories of Krishna. hear the Leela of Krishna. And that will awaken your rag, your attraction to transcendental life. And the Lord of that transcendental life, Sri Krishna. You will become attracted to Krishna. You will become purified. And how is that performed in a regulated way? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archinam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. These are the 9 practices. So then Lord Chaitanya, very good. Now you're talking, Ramananda. So we see, in this is the 5th canto, here Lord Rishabhdev is giving up. He's becoming an avadut. I've done all my varnashram duties for pleasure of Krishna. I've educated my sons. Now I'm installing Bharat to rule the world. And what am I doing? Just like the Pandavas, when they saw Kali Yuga coming at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, they retired, right? There's a chapter. Yudhisthira just let his hair down and left the kingdom. The Pandavas followed. And a dog followed them. It was Yamaraj testing the dharma of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Anyway, throughout the Bhagavatam, also the beginning, what happened? Narada Muni, when he was a young boy, he just gave up everything and he meditated on the Supreme Lord. He was a child. He wandered here and there, touring the whole world like Lord Rishabhdev. Completely focused on the Supreme Lord. Shri Shri Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sunda, Shri Guru Panampara, Tulsi Maharani, Gomata, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Right. So, this is the real practice of spiritual life, right? Because Varnashram has some connection, some relevance to our material situation. We have, according to Karmaphal, some attachment to particular qualities of the material nature. And as a result, we're attracted to particular activities. So the Vedic prescription is not that you immediately perform the activities of a Paramahansa avadut. Rather, you should now perform your activities for the pleasure of Krishna. Then, as you awaken spiritually, you can intensify your Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam. So this is the relationship of Varnashram and Bhakti Sadhana, which starts with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. They do not exclude each other, rather they are interwoven. And they should be understood correctly. If we just perform our duties in the temple as a manager or as a cook or as a pujari, and we just do these duties that we will be given by temple authorities, but we do not cultivate within our heart attraction to Krishna, because these are the 4 stages of bhakti, vaidhi, okay, follow rules and regulations, use your material propensities in the service of Krishna, but then the next stage of sadhana bhakti is rag. You should be developing attraction for Krishna, and then that leads to rati, bhava bhakti, wherein the actual swarup manifests from the soul. Everybody has a spiritual form But it is dormant within the soul, Prabhupada explains, just like a tree or a plant is dormant within the seed. So, by rag, practicing rag, this awakens the swarup. So what is the practice of rag? It means this, that you, Shravana Das, in the text number 7 and 8 of Nectar of Instruction, you hear the pastimes of Krishna. Just like we're hearing now, Lord Rishabde. You hear the Naam Guna Rupa Leela of Krishna, and you hear regularly the whole gamut of Krishna's pastimes, and then you become awoken spiritually, because the pastimes are composed of the Chit Shakti. They are spiritual, so they resonate within the soul and they awaken the soul. So we have so many duties, but we must always remember that we have to maintain, during the period of sadhana bhakti, we have to control the mind and fix the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. And we have to regularly hear and chant Satatam Kirtayantamam within the format set. Rupa Goswami has explained that format very simply. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande, what is that? Yukta Vairagya Se Uchite. Yukta Vairag means you use all your material facilities in the service of Krishna. But Nirbandha Sambande, only those things that are favorable for devotional service. It is a corruption to think, I can do anything for Krishna. I can lie, cheat, steal, bootleg, thieve, make politics, disregard all moral behavior. I'm a devotee, I'm liberated. That is not Nirbandha Sambande. No, a devotee should be a moral, correct person. He should be fearful about material reaction. So within that disciplined format, then he performs all his activities for the pleasure of Krishna. Always keeping an eye on awakening his rag, attraction. And then rag becomes rati, attachment. And this leads to bhava, spiritual emotion in relationship to the Supreme Lord. And at this stage, the swarup will fully manifest. So here, exemplified by Lord Rishabdev, is this. As Prabhupada pointed out, emphasizing from within the verse, that these instructions are meant for sannyasis. But sannyasi doesn't just mean cloth and bamboo. Sannyasi means that you've given up all material impetus after all material desires have been vanquished. That is sannyas. In the 18th chapter, we many times quote, what is sannyas? Arjuna asks Krishna. And Krishna explains, sannyas means to give up all material impetus, all the drives of the material body and the materially conditioned mind. They're not the pushing on the soul anymore. The soul is purified, and now he's inspired by the order of Guru, by the order of Sadhu, Guru Parampara, and by the order of Krishna in the Shastra. So this is the real platform of bhakti. The real platform of bhakti is on the completely liberated platform. So here, Rishabhdev is explaining. It's going a little step further. This was also there in Prithu Maharaj in the previous canto, but now he's completely giving up any material duties, and he's living at home initially naked, like a madman, disheveled hair. Complete avadhuta, and then he walks out of the palace and wanders the whole world. Completely oblivious to all external material formalities. And so what is he doing with his consciousness? He's completely immersed in the Naam Guna Rupa Leela of Krishna. And we find later on here, his son Jad Bharat becomes Jad Bharat, and in a similar way, so that he doesn't become distracted. He acts like a dumb man, unintelligent, wanders here and there. People think, oh, this man is also stupid, he's dull, they make fun, the materialistic people. But Jad Bharat is just sure, now I will not fall down again. I will not develop material affection for a deer anymore. I will just concentrate my mind upon the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And then we find the result of that in the next canto, sixth canto, is Ajamil. So there is practical instruction how one can actually transfer from this material life to the transcendental world. And then in the seventh canto, the story of Prahlad Maharaj is very prominent. And then it is explained, Hiranyakashipu, he was a little upset with Prahlad. So he said, Prahlad, tell me what is the best thing you have learnt? He had two instructors. So Prahlad said, well, actually, good question, father. Shravanam Ketanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandiyam Sakyamatmanivedanam. So Hiranyakashipu wasn't so pleased to hear about this. Who has polluted you with this Vaishnavism? Who has been sneaking in and teaching you? So then, eighth canto, ninth canto, there's a lot of the Leela, the Dasmula, and then the tenth canto. So you can see how all the cantos of the Bhagavatam, they're leading the devotee, the Paramahamsa Samhita, to the meditation on the Naam Guna Rupa Leela of Krishna in 10th canto. And then 11th canto, then there is the Uddhava Gita, also the Paramahamsa Samhita, where Uddhava is instructed by Krishna how to perform the activities of Paramahamsahood, how to be completely devoid. And that Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, is considered higher than the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, because it is completely removed from any material affinity. Uddhava is told, you should pay your obeisances to the hog, dog, camel and asses. You should learn from the pigeon, from the prostitute, from the water. Is told to seek Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. And this is the vision of the Uttamadhikari. Krishna, everything is within Krishna, and Krishna is within everything. As Mother Yashoda, she looked in the mouth of Krishna. Balaram, oh, Krishna's eating dirt. Mother Yashoda, come here, Krishna. She looked inside Krishna, she saw the whole creation, material and spiritual. And then she saw herself within Krishna, with Krishna upon her lap. So everything is within Krishna. We are within Krishna. And yet everything is the emanation of Krishna. So what is that? That means that the transcendental world is beyond the limited conceptions of this material world. In this material world, we can fit maybe 1,000 people in this temple. Or on an Indian bus, you can put 50 people. Okay, in India, you can put 300. But there's a limit. You can only put 50 on the roof, 350. But in the spiritual world, there's no limiting function of space and time. Space and time are the servant of Leela. Here we're restricted by space and time, the material elements. I can only be in one place, I cannot be in another place. I'm ruled by time. Krishna sees. Arjuna is told by Krishna in 11th canto, and he sees practically. What does he see? Krishna shows him the Virat Rupa, the universal form, and then Arjuna is completely shocked. And then Krishna says, Kalosmi aham. I am all devouring time. Mrityu samsaravatmani. I am devouring everything as death and time in this material world. So Arjuna saw the naked form of the material energy. So was he going to then become entranced with the niceties of material behavior, material morality, with such a vision? So here, Lord Rishabhdev, he is seeing the naked form of the material energy. Mrityu sarva harashchaham kalosme aham. I am the lord of this world, time, materially conditioned. Everyone is bound to death. There is no utopia to be found in this world. You may have a comfortable sofa in your living room, but you're still going to die. You're still going to grow old. You're still going to grow disease. So why now spend your time wondering about material morality, material activities? No, this is the time for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. This is the time now, as a human being, you have the chance to wake up your spiritual nature. So the transcendentalist, he is immersed in this realization. And he doesn't waste his time. Lord Rishabhdev, he took the sacrificial fire within himself. So within his palace, there would have been a yajna pit for offering clarified ghee, grains to the Supreme Lord. But symbolically, he took that fire within himself. What does it mean? He's offering his soul, his word, his mind, his body. This is sannyas. He's giving all his material facility to the contemplation of the Supreme Lord. All the senses of the mind and soul. And how does Lord Rishabhdev summarize his teachings in the previous verse? The true activity of the sense organs, mind, sight, word, and all the knowledge gathering and working senses is to engage fully in my service. This is Krishna speaking as Rishabhdev. Unless one's senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot think of getting out of the great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraj's stringent rope. Huh? What is that verse in the Gita? Ashradha dhana purusha dharmasya shapanan aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravatmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service do not attain me, Krishna says, but they return to birth and death in the material world. Mrityu samsaravatmani. How do you escape death? The true activities of the senses, the mind, the body, the working, knowledge-acquiring senses, they are to be engaged in the service of Krishna. This is the true function of the soul. And this, the path and the highest meditation has been revealed by Lord Chaitanya. Even in the middle of Kali Yuga, where people are completely unregulated, manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagyo, unfortunate, everything. They don't know anything. Lord Chaitanya has given them access how to purify the soul, how to awaken the soul, how to make the senses run after Krishna. How does one start? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, we may not become avadutas, wander around naked with disheveled hair, but we should chant Hare Krishna at every moment, Ketaniya Sada Hare, and awaken the soul by Lord Chaitanya's grace. Lord Chaitanya, the Bhagavatam, all these principles are explained, but Lord Chaitanya is the secret of the Bhagavatam. Krishnavana Tvisha Krishnam. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And what is the supreme object of meditation given by Lord Chaitanya? What is, why is he Namo Mahav Vadanyaya? Why? Because here in the middle of Kali Yuga, through the six Goswamis, through the Shiksha Staka, Lord Chaitanya is revealing the most intimate truths of the transcendental platform. This is what Lord Rishabhdev will be thinking upon, what Jad Bharat will be thinking upon. So in that conversation, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy go step by step, step by step. So after the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, then at the very end, Ramananda Roy explains the moods and the rasa exchange between Radha and Krishna. And then finally, Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy, mentions prema vaichitta. And Lord Chaitanya says, stops him, don't speak anymore. What is prema vaichitta? You can look it up. It means the transformations of prema. It means the activities, the exchanges of prema between Radha and Krishna. The transcendental rasa, the different moods between Radha and Krishna. So step by step, Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya have revealed the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And this is the ultimate meditation in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, is that the jiva, the soul, is the servant of these transformations of rasa, these mellows between Radha and Krishna. And that is exemplified in the dealings of the 10th canto. The gopis, the manjaris, this is all explained in the very elevated subject matter. But what are the Manjaris, what are the Astashakis doing? They are perceiving the prem, the transformation, the different moods between Radha and Krishna, and they are serving those moods. When they see that Krishna wants to sit quietly on the bank with Srimati Radharani, then they make a peaceful situation so that Krishna can play one nice rag for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani. When Krishna wants to dance, then they play musical instruments and have a joyful atmosphere, a ras lila. When Krishna, Radha and Krishna want to have some fun on the Julan Yatra, then they serve that and they make fun and make jokes and enjoy seeing Radha and Krishna swinging on the thing. So when here it is mentioned here, the true activities of the sense organs, internal and so on and forth, the organs of the soul, the nature of the soul is to become a servant of this prem between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. So we should understand that this is what Lord Chaitanya has revealed. And this is the ultimate focus, the ultimate meditation throughout the whole creation. To become a servant of the mellows exchanged in the transcendental realm. So yes, we are working hard, spreading the movement, but within our heart, we should be desiring, we should be praying that my attraction to Krishna, my attachment to Krishna, my realization of the transcendental world is developing. And as Lord Rishabhdev is teaching us here, we should be ready to give up everything for that. As Krishna tells Arjuna, yes, ultimately do your varnashram, be a kshatriya. But really, Arjuna, manmanabhava madbhakto majaji mam namaskuru, sarvadharma prijaja mam ekam saranam, just surrender to me. Become the servant of the servant. Gopi bhata kamalayo das adas anadas. So we should understand this teachings of Lord Chaitanya and install it within our heart. Just like Lord Rishabhdev is taking the sacrificial fire within his heart and he's offering all the activities of his soul, his mind and body in the service of Krishna. So our heart should be a burning fire within, which is burning with lobdha, desire to attain Krishna. And we should offer all our activities to Krishna within the fire of our sincerity. This is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. This is what Lord Chaitanya has revealed. So we should contemplate this. We should contemplate, become attached with our Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. We should understand our good fortune to be situated at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, these great. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, for 9 years, he chanted 3 lakhs naam in Mayapur, sitting under a straw hut with the rain coming through. He would hold an umbrella in the rainy season. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he did the same as Lord Chaitanya. Everything was fallen down, but through writing Jiva Dharma and his books and songs,